Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to pose, give us a call right now. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m., you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can discuss it directly with us if you call 844-322-2742. That's a toll-free number, of course, in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, we've been talking all this month about the implications of the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. So God made us holy. He forgave us our sins. He gave us his righteousness. He made us fully alive so that he could come and live inside of us. Now, he didn't come and live inside of us just to have a nice place to rest his head. He came to live inside of us to share his very life with us so that we could participate in the divine nature. So we've escaped the corruption that's in the world so that we can participate in the divine nature. Now, we're not going to do that through law living or rules and regulations. Sure. All of that's human effort. Yeah. That's not sharing in Christ's life. That's trying to perform in order to get a pat on the back or something like that. To share in Christ's life, we live a life of faith. We live in dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's benefits to that. There's byproducts. There's fruit of that lifestyle of living by faith in Jesus Christ. And we see one of those aspects in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. And this is one of those stop you dead in your tracks verses. It says this, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value." So from a human perspective, those things have value. For the Jewish people, it had enormous value. It was a sign that said, we belong to God. We truly are the chosen people.
Yeah.
And they looked down upon those that were uncircumcised, the Gentiles, so to speak. And here Jesus is saying through Paul that none of that matters at all. Yeah. Your background, your heritage, your religious affiliation or identification doesn't matter when it comes to the things of God. And he says the only thing that counts, now that's a neon sign right there, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So what is this life that we're supposed to be living? It's a life of faith. Mm-hmm. That is the Christian life. Now, that life of faith is anchored by the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It's shaped by the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And it's manifested in this thing called love. So there we see the three marks of Christianity, faith, hope, and love. Yeah. So we live by faith in Jesus Christ. It is by grace through faith in Christ from start to finish. God initiates, Christ initiates, the Holy Spirit initiates in and through us. We respond by faith, and that response of faith manifests itself in love for other people.
Right.
That is the Christian life. So we get so stuck on trying to get rid of sin in our life, trying to curb the desires of the flesh, and we don't see any of that in this particular passage. It's simply faith in Jesus Christ expressing itself in love toward others.
Right.
So let's get our minds on Jesus. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of faith.
Yeah.
So Jesus is the author of faith. We can't have faith apart from Jesus Christ. He is the object.
Mm-hmm.
And as we keep our eyes on him, he's going to perfect it, mature that faith. And the outcome is expression of love toward others. So that's how this works. So let's just keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
And the more simple it is, the better it's going to be for us. So God's already condemned sin and sinful man. He's already put sin upon Jesus. He's already punished that sin through the death of Jesus Christ. So we don't have to worry about that. God's already dealt with it. He knows about the conflict of the flesh that we still have, that we're living in.
Yeah.
But he says, let's just make it simple. Don't worry about the flesh. I've got that under control. Just keep your eyes on Jesus, walk by faith in him, and he will express his life through you in love toward others. That's what it's all about, folks. It's so simple, but it's so powerful, so deeply impactful, not only for you, but for those that you come in contact with each and every day.
I'm glad he has it under control.
Yes, indeed.
I wouldn't do very well at it.
No, none of us would.
It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you're with us. We'd love for you to come in and be a part of it at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel. And Bob, starting today, we have a new resource for our donors. Tell us all about it.
Well, it is a new resource. It's Andrew Farley's new book, Twisted Scripture.
It's hard to say.
It's got my tongue twisted,
yes.
But Twisted Scripture. It's a great read. Andrew tackles 45 lies that are robbing and suppressing people from experiencing the real joy of their salvation. Passages that confuse us. So he takes you for a ride, a journey through some of these very difficult passages. And in so doing, he really opens your eyes to see the majesty and the wonder of Jesus Christ and his amazing grace. We want to give that to you. It's just our way of saying thank you for helping us here at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And we're at crunch time, folks. We've got about 6 days left before the end of our fiscal year, before June 30th comes and goes. And we really need your help. We need your support. It's an urgent need.
Yeah.
We started this month with about 200,000 left to go to meet our year-end target. We're about 150 left to go. We know we have some gifts that are in the mail and that sort of thing.
Sure.
But we need your help. And to say thanks, we're giving you this great incentive, and that's Andrew's book, Twisted Scripture. We want to give away a lot of these books.
Sure, yeah.
So go to our website, basicgospel.net, click the support link, and follow all the instructions, and be sure and request your copy of Andrew's new book, a best-selling book as far as Amazon is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Request your copy, and we'll get it to you as quickly as we can.
Thank you, Bob, for that explanation, and friends, hope you'll take advantage of that. Hope you all take advantage of the open line right now at 844-322-2742. If it's 7 minutes past three, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want you to be a part of it, as I said, 844-322-2742. Bob had this question from Lauren. I was told by my pastor the book of Jude is a warning against grace as a license to sin. Please give me some insight on this.
Well, it's just saying there in the book of Jude that there are many that turn the grace of God into a reason for licentiousness. Let me see where this verse is. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ as our only Savior and Lord. So he's not talking about believers. He's not talking about Christians who pervert the grace of God. He's talking about false prophets. So Peter addresses false prophets. Jude is addressing false prophets. There were false prophets back in their day. There are false prophets today. And they're bringing another message, one that they say is good news, but it's not good news at all. Paul talked about that in Galatians 1. You're deserting the one who called you by this so-called gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Well, Jude is talking about the same thing here. So he wants to talk about the common salvation that we all share, this faith that we all received. But he says, I need to talk about something else, and I need to talk about these ungodly people. So when he's talking about ungodly people, he's not talking about believers. He's talking about lost folks. Well, what do lost folks do? They are perverting the grace of God. They're using it to self-justify, and they're using it to condone their way of life. So it's a license for immorality. And in so doing, in perverting the grace of God, what are they doing? They're denying Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord.
Yeah.
So these are people who are lost. They're dead in sin. They have a rebellious heart toward God. And they're using, quote, the grace of God to justify their own ungodliness, mm-hmm. their own ungodly lives. And are there people that do that today? Absolutely. But those who experience the true grace of God, they do not deny Jesus Christ is our only sovereign and Lord. Mm-hmm. They accept him. They confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. This grace of God transfers them out of darkness into light, crosses them over from death into life, and Jesus comes to live inside of them. And because his seed, because his spirit is in us, he moves us down the paths of righteousness. When we take turns away from this life of faith in Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit is there to correct us, to get us back on the path, but that's his job.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good at what he does, I guarantee you.
Yes, indeed. It's a Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper's not here.
That's
those
exactly
habits are just die hard. But anyway, both Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you are with us. 844-322-2742. We have a line for you. Bob had this question from Tom. He says, what is your understanding of the doctrine of election? Are some people not chosen by God to be saved?
Well, it says in Romans 10, and this is right in the center of Paul's discussion of election. He says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, whether Jew or Gentile, will be saved. Now, why is this important that he said whether Jew or Gentile? Because that is the context of this discussion that Paul is having. So what has God elected? Well, or what has God predestined? Well, what God has predestined is not so much the yous and me's. He's predestined that the Gentile will be saved exactly the same way as the Jew. So on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and he proclaimed the good news of Jesus, when he proclaimed the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ, 3,000 Jewish people received Jesus Christ that day, and the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to them. So they were saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, they never dreamed in a million years that the Gentile would also be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But God had always predestined that to be so, that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, whether Jew or Gentile, will be saved. So if a Jewish person confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead, guess what?
Yeah.
That person crosses over from death to life and receives the gift of God's Spirit. If a Gentile person confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead, that Gentile person is saved. He crosses over from death to life in exactly the same way. Now, what does God do? He takes those saved folks out of a Jewish background and those saved folks out of a Gentile or a pagan background, and he puts them together in this body that we call the church. Mm-hmm. He calls it one new man in the book of Ephesians. So the places where election and predestination are discussed, Romans 9, 10, and 11, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 primarily, those are the most fertile soils for this discussion of predestination. And in both, he's talking about Jew and Gentile, that what is he predestined? That anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, whether Jew or Gentile. And he's predestined the fact that those who do will make up this one new man called the body of Christ.
Yeah.
So when we look at it in those terms, then this becomes a very unifying message. Mm-hmm. Most of the time today when predestination is brought up in conversation, it becomes a source of confusion and division. Those who are on one side, the Calvinist side, would say, hey, God only chooses some for salvation, and he chooses others for damnation. And the folks on the other side of that argument will say, well, how could you serve a God like that? That's not love. And so you just have this huge gap. Mm-hmm. And as right. the conversation continues, the gap gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So it causes division most of the time. But when you see it in light of its context, and that's the key, always looking at the context, you see that Paul, in both of these sections of the Bible, are talking about Jew and Gentile people groups. So again, what is God predestined? That anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, whether Jew or Gentile, will be saved, will cross over from death to life, mm-hmm. and receive the gift of God's Spirit, and that both Jew and Gentile will become one new man in Christ Jesus. Yeah. The wall of hostility has been torn down. The hostility has been dealt with in the heart of each, and they can love each other as God in Christ has loved them.
And we've seen that over and over and over throughout the term of our ministry.
Yes, indeed.
Indeed we have. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And friends, for centuries, whether by ignorance or deceit, certain passages of Scripture have been misconstrued and twisted, causing doubt and fear in the minds of believer and non-believer alike. And to help Basic Gospel listeners sort out fact from fiction, truth from error, we are offering our donors Andrew Farley's newest book, Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told, and it's yours when you make your donation to help Basic Gospel today. So please click donate at basicgospel.net and help us keep the good news coming to you. As Bob said earlier, and as we've said for several weeks, we're approaching the end of our fiscal year, and we really, really need your help to keep this good news coming and to make sure that we are on good terms with our radio stations and all of that, all that's entailed in that. So we encourage you to go to basicgospel.net and make that contribution. And when you do, we're going to send you Twisted Scripture by Andrew Farley. He didn't twist it, but he is reviewing.
No, so, no, there's a lot of people that have been twisting Scripture since the very beginning.
Yeah.
This is Satan's ploy, his tactic. He twisted Scripture in the garden. He's continuing to do so. These false prophets twist it for their own sordid gain. And it just confuses people.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at these passages and really take a look at the context, we see this grace of God being consistent from beginning to end. And that grace of God will free our minds from the clutter, from the confusion, will give us a sense of clarity, a sense of peace, a sense of contentment of all that we have in Christ Jesus because of his death, his burial, his resurrection, this amazing grace that we experience through faith in him.
And friends, we want you to have a copy, and we'll send you one as you make your donation between now and midnight on the 30th. So go to basicgospel.net, click that big prominent donate button, and partner with us, okay? Well, Bob, we have this question from Ron. He says, what is the meaning of Hebrews 4:15? How was Jesus tempted yet perfect? He says, I know he was tempted by the devil, but it says he was tempted like us in every way, but without sin.
Well, he was tempted like us in every way. I mean, you look at the temptations that he experienced at the hand of Satan. You see what Satan tempted him with is what he tempts us with each and every day. Now, here's the difference. We have an internal conflict. So Satan is an external force, and he tries to tempt us from the outside.
Yeah.
And then we, as human beings, we have this flesh, this fallen flesh, and that fallen flesh wants to respond to the temptations of the world. So there's this internal pressure as well. Now, Jesus didn't have that. So there are things that that you and I may not like. You know, I'm not a big fan of coconut. So you put coconut in front of me, it doesn't tempt me in the least. Now, that's like Jesus with the temptations that Satan put in front of him.
Yeah.
He wasn't tempted in the least. He knew who he was. He knew the source of life, and that was God the Father. But he felt the full force of those temptations. I mean, the full force, the mm-hmm. atomic force of Satan's temptations in his life.
Right.
But they were external. And he kept relying upon the Word of God. He kept looking to his Father. And it was his Father that got him through that. And so he was tempted yet without sin. Mm-hmm. He remained perfect. And that's what enabled him to be the perfect Lamb of God, to actually take upon himself the sins of the world and have sin be judged in him. So he was tempted just like you and I were. He knows the force, those external forces that Satan in the world applies, just like we do. Mm-hmm. And so he's sympathetic to our plight. He knows what we're feeling externally. And so he can help us in our time of need. That's what makes him the high priest that trumps every other.
Yeah. Well, it is Basic Gospel, friends, and want to remind you that we are streaming live video to Facebook and to YouTube every day. If you're near your phone or your iPad or your computer or whatever device you might have, we encourage you to take advantage of it and come on inside the studio because you'll see live video what goes on every day here at Basic Gospel. That's YouTube and Facebook.
Well, it's interesting. In a follow-up question, Bob on Facebook asks us this, speaking of the temptation of Satan in the garden, how do we explain a talking snake? Well, I think it's just the fact that Satan was able to inhabit or to take the shape of mm-hmm. that.
Right.
And certainly he was able to speak. So he just did so through that form that he put himself in the mm-hmm. garden.
Yeah, okay. Well, we have this question as well from Maria. Can you please explain Acts 23, verses 2 and 3? Many Christians believe that with fasting, we get closer to God, and in these verses, it looks like fasting is something we need to practice in order to be, in order for the Holy Spirit to move in our lives.
Well, that's wrong. It's just,
wrong.
Yeah, it's just not something that's necessary. I mean, let's go back over this gospel message. So Jesus died, he judged sin in his body, God the Father judged sin in his body, Jesus Christ was buried, Jesus Christ was raised to life, and then he ascended into heaven. He was given the gift of God's Spirit, and he poured that Spirit out on man, first at Pentecost, and then in Samaria, and then on the Gentile world. And once that happened, once those doors were open for all those people groups, any person who comes to faith in Jesus receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. So God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. Now, what does that mean? Well, we have the fullness of the Godhead living in us. We have God the Father living in us. We have Jesus the Son living in us. And we have the Holy Spirit living in us.
Could get kind of crowded in there.
Could get kind of crowded, but somehow he's able to do that.
Yeah,
he's able to take up residence, to dwell in us. Now, how much closer can God get than living inside of us?
Exactly.
How much closer can we get to God than living inside of us? Now, that's truth. Now, we need our minds to be renewed to that truth. That's the standard. Mm-hmm. And our minds need to be bent to that truth, to understand it, so that we can fully experience it in spirit, soul, and body. So we can't get any closer. He's there in us. We're as close as we'll ever get. Fasting isn't going to draw us closer. Prayer isn't going to draw us closer. Bible study isn't going to draw us closer. The truth is, he lives in us. Now, all those other things may help renew our minds, but they're not the things that are mm-hmm. going to get us close to God.
Right.
God's already done that through Jesus and sending us his Spirit to take up residence in us.
Can't get any closer than living in you. Friends, help us fill up this $35,000 matching gift, and by doing so, you'll help us reach our fiscal year-end need. Remember, every dollar that you give this month will be doubled, so please make your most generous gift at BasicGospel.net today. And as you make your gift today or this week before the 30th, we'll send you a copy of Andrew Farley's newest book, Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. And it is a wonderful read, friends. Hope you'll take advantage of that. So please make your gift today. We want you to have a copy. You can make that gift at BasicGospel.net, a big prominent donate link right on the homepage. Remember also, if you have a question before our next live broadcast, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742, or you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.